I thought I would talk to you just for a wee minute today about names, because names are very important and part of what we do in a blessing as we acknowledge the name of the children, each child as they come forward. When parents are expecting a child, they take hours, days, weeks, months maybe, deciding on the name, the right name for their child. Is that true? How long did you take to choose a name? Weeks and months, yes. Sometimes when the child is born, parents realize it's not the right name at all that they've spent months thinking of, and they give them a different name. They change it to something else. My name is Jean. Both my grandmothers were called Jean, and my aunt was called Jean, and so I couldn't really escape it. That was the name that was predestined for me. And my middle name is Alison, and that's the name of another aunt and also my godmother. So there are different reasons for choosing names for children. It might be a family name like mine. It might be a name that the parents like. It might be something else. It might be a name because it means something. And some people choose a different name for themselves when they grow up. Because names are important. They tell us who we are. I've noticed that both boys have a middle name, Angus. And I thought, oh, that must be an important name for your family. That must be an important person, perhaps. In the Bible, we read about Jesus. He was given that name by his parents because God told them each to give him that name of Jesus, because Jesus meant that he would save his people. And then later, as he grew up, he was given lots of different names. In the reading we're going to hear in a little while from John's Gospel, he is called the Lamb of God, he's called the Chosen One of God, and he's called the Messiah. He's also called Rabbi, which means teacher. And if you look at these banners up on the walls, you'll see that there are lots of names written on them. These are all names that we give to Jesus, because Jesus is such an amazing person that it takes more than just a few words or a few names to say who he is. We call him all sorts of names. We call him King of Glory, Prince of Peace, the Resurrection, Son of Man, God's Shepherd, and then Beloved, the Gate, True Vine, lots and lots of different names. So today we're going to praise Jesus and we're going to do that by lifting up his name. That's what we say in this song, which we're going to sing. It's a song with actions, I want you all to do them. I don't want to stand up here doing them myself. So there are actions in which, if you follow me, are quite simple. And so let's sing together. Lord, I lift your name on high. Now I'm going to ask the parents and godparents of Arlo and Harry to come forward, please, and bring the children with you. Notice that they've disappeared. Can we get the parents? Somebody's going to go and get them. There you are. Hello. You must be Arlo. Oh, he looks a little bit shy. You're looking very smart today. Yeah, you can just... Yeah, it's great that you're here. There you are. Okay, yeah, now. So we've never talked about where you would stand. That's great. Okay. Now, we are here today to give thanks for these children with their family and friends, and to support their parents in their responsibilities with prayer and with love. Within the stability of their home, we pray for stability in their home and that they will grow in faith. The Bible tells us in Mark's Gospel that one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so that he could touch and bless them, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And then he took the children in his arms, and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. Okay. Brogan and Josh, do you receive this child as a gift from God?
We do.
Do you wish to give thanks to God and seek his blessing?
We do.
Amy and Derry, do you receive this child as a gift from God?
We do.
And do you wish to give thanks to God and seek his blessing?
We do.
Let's pray. God, our Maker, we thank you for the wonder of new life and for the mystery of human love. We thank you for all whose support and skill surround and sustain the beginning of life. We thank you that we are known to you by name and loved by you from all eternity. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who has opened to us the way of love. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to ask you all to stand.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to Harry first. I'm going to take him. Could you hold the words for me? Like that. That's great. Thank you. Can I take him? This is Harry, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Can you see him? There you are. Amy and Derry, what name have you given this child?
Harry Angus Spink.
Harry Angus Spink. As Jesus took children in his arms and blessed them, so now we ask God's blessing on Harry Angus Spink. Heavenly Father, we praise you for his birth, and we ask, surround him with your blessing, that he may know your love, be protected from evil, and know your goodness all the days of his life. May he learn to love all that is true, grow in wisdom and strength, and in due time come through faith and baptism to the fullness of your grace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There you are. Let me give it back to you. There we go. Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to do the same now. Brogan and Josh, what name have you given this child?
Arlo Angus David McCaskill.
Arlo Angus David McCaskill. Would you like to come and get a wee hold? Or do you want to stand there? Would you come to me? You've never met me, but you have met me once before. But can I pick you up?
Yeah.
Would that be okay?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, you're a wee bit heavier. Yeah. There you go. Is that okay? Can you look that way? There you are. Isn't that lovely? You see all these people? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Get the words. As Jesus took children in his arms and blessed them, so now we ask God's blessing on Arlo Angus David McCaskill. Heavenly Father, we praise you for his birth. Surround him with your blessing, that he may know your love, be protected from evil, and know your goodness all his days. May he learn to love all that is true, grow in wisdom and strength, and in due time come through faith and baptism to the fullness of your grace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There you are. There, we did it. Do you want to go back to somebody? Who would you like to go to? Maybe that was a difficult question. There you are, well done. Now, there's blessings for parents as well, so may God the Father bless you, Amy and Derry, Brogan and Josh, and give you grace to love and care for your children. May God give you wisdom, patience, and faith, help you to provide for your children's needs, and by your example, reveal the love and truth that are in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now there's a little present to be given to you. Somebody's going to come and give you a wee present each on behalf of the steeple.
Thank you very much.
There you are. And I've got a little one as well. I'll just go get it. Sorry. There's a little book there for Harry, and there's a little book there. Look, there's another present for me. There you go, that's what happens. That way it's upside down, but yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Okay. Now, there are some questions for the godparents. Ryan and Megan. Are you Ryan and Megan? To get the right way right. Ryan and Megan, you are Arlo's godparents. With God's help, will you do all that you can to help and support Brogan and Josh in the bringing up of Arlo? And Kieran Morvan, you are Harry's godparents. With God's help, will you do all that you can to help and support Amy and Derry in the bringing up of Harry? And there are questions for the wider family and friends. With the help of God, will you do all that you can to help and support these families? And now there's a prayer which is going to come up on the screen for us all, the whole congregation, to say together. You guys, it's up here as well. Let's pray. God, our Maker, we thank you for the gift of these precious children, Arlo and Harry. Help us to be patient and understanding, ready to guide, welcome, and forgive, so that through our love, they may come to know your love for themselves. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to sing, "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." John's Gospel, which we heard a small part of this morning, was written in order to tell the story of Jesus Christ, the extraordinary man who was God come to earth, who lived and died 2,000 years ago in a faraway place in Israel, Palestine. John's Gospel was written in order that people would encounter this Jesus for themselves. People beyond that first generation, that these ones who were able to meet Jesus in person, as we like to say about meetings these days. 2,000 years ago near Jerusalem, people could see Jesus with their eyes, hear him with their ears, touch him with their hands. But since these days, since Jesus died, rose again and ascended into heaven, people have not been able to do these things. Jesus is not a physical presence anymore, but we can still encounter him. And that is the point of John's Gospel. John is saying, we, you and me, can meet Jesus here today as we read words about him with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. We can follow John the Baptist's arm, his pointing finger, who says, there is the Lamb of God. We can see Jesus not with our eyes, but in our hearts and minds. And we can hear his invitation to come and see, not with our ears, but deep within our soul. Come and see what this is all about. So come with me today as we look more closely at this story which we heard. We begin with another man sent by God, John the Baptist. The other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell us that John the Baptist was a relative of Jesus, a cousin, born miraculously to aging parents Elizabeth and Zechariah, who had never been able to have children. And I need to say at this point, to avoid confusion, John the Baptist is not the same person as the John who wrote the Gospel. That John was the son of Zebedee and a disciple of Jesus. So there are two different Johns, and today we're talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a prophet, which means that he told people what God was saying. He was a very strange man. I don't know what we would think if we met him. The picture which you can see is what people think he looked like. But the Gospel does tell us that he wore a coat made of camel hair, which must have been very itchy, I think. And this coat was held together around his waist by a leather belt. He lived in the wild. He didn't have a house. And he survived by eating locusts and honey. I quite like honey. I'm not sure I could eat a locust, although I know people do when there is nothing else to eat. John the Baptist was called the Baptist because he baptized people in the River Jordan, which means that he plunged them briefly under the water, brought them back up out of the water as a sign that their sin was forgiven. He urged the people to turn back to God and to do what was right in their everyday lives. But John's main role in life, the reason he was sent by God, was to point to Jesus. And if you ever see old artwork which features stories from the Gospels and you see a man pointing in that picture, that man is John the Baptist, because that's what John does. He points to Jesus. John knew that he was the warm-up act. He was not the main event. John was not the one the people had been waiting for. That one was Jesus. And one day, Jesus walked past John, who was standing there with two of his disciples, because yes, John the Baptist had disciples as well. He had men who followed him, lived with him, and learned from him. As Jesus walked by, John pointed to Jesus, doing his job, and said, "Look, the Lamb of God." For those reading John's Gospel from the beginning, this is the first appearance of Jesus. We're still only at the end of chapter 1, but this is Jesus appearing for us now. The beginning of chapter 1 in John's Gospel begins with a wonderful poem. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is the Word, John's Gospel says. What word, we might ask? Well, there was a time, the Bible tells us, when none of this existed. Nothing existed at all. It was dark, the world was dark and formless, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Until one day, God spoke, and in that act of speaking, God made light to shine in that darkness. Over the course of 6 days, according to the book of Genesis, God made the sun, moon, and stars. God made planet Earth and all the life, the plants and the animals and the people that exist within it. John's Gospel says in its first few verses that the creating Word which God spoke and things came into being, that Word was Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the light coming into the world, and Jesus is the life given to all. In other words, Jesus, this man who walked the earth 2,000 years ago in a faraway place, was also right there at the beginning when the world was made. For Jesus was and is God. Now, for the reader of John's Gospel, having taken in these astounding things, John claims, all these astounding things that John claims about Jesus, as we read on into the passage which we've heard today, we get to see, not with our eyes, but in our imaginations, this man Jesus. Who was he? What was he like? Our gaze follows the arm and pointing finger of John the Baptist, as we stand with him beside the River Jordan and we see this man walking past. He is nothing extraordinary to look at. John the Baptist points at Jesus and calls him the Lamb of God. Now, I was brought up on a farm. I know about lambs. They are small creatures entirely dependent on someone else. They are very sweet and sometimes a bit stupid. They take a lot of care. For those of us steeped in Christian tradition, we might understand this be an image from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah of the lamb being led out to the slaughter, a sheep about to be sheared, which remains silent, words which we as Christians associate and believe point to Jesus. And in this image of Lamb of God, we may see Jesus' beauty and innocence. We may see his ultimate sacrificial death on a cross, his life given for us. In any ways, John the Baptist says the Lamb of God, and the disciples don't stop to ask him what he's talking about. They immediately leave John, their teacher and rabbi, and follow Jesus down the road. And so John the Baptist has done his job and he fades into the background. What do we know of these disciples of John the Baptist that became Jesus' disciples? Well, one of them was Andrew. Andrew, what do we know about Andrew? Well, we know he was the brother of Simon Peter. And we know that he is the patron saint of Scotland. He is the reason why we have a town called St. Andrews. We know he left everything to follow Jesus, to become his disciple. The other Gospels tell us that Andrew was a fisherman who sailed his boats on the Sea of Galilee. So he was an ordinary person like you and me. When John the Baptist points to Jesus, Andrew and the other disciples see Jesus and are immediately drawn to him. They follow him, although they keep a safe distance until Jesus turns around and asks them, "What do you want?" In some translations, he's asking, "What are you looking for?" In response, the two disciples stutter out a question. They go, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus must have smiled at them and said, "Come and see." Jesus' question, his first question there, is a question for all of us. What do you want? What are you looking for? Why are you here today? What are you hoping to find? Perhaps you're here in this place because you come every week. It's a habit which helps the rest of your week to go more smoothly. That's what some people tell me. Perhaps you're here because you came to support your family and friends. You're here for the blessing. Or you're here because someone you love wants you to be here with them. Perhaps you're here like me because you have to be here. You're playing the music, or you're working the sound desk, or you're making the cup of tea. Perhaps you don't know how you got here. I know of at least one person who went to church because they were passing the building and somehow they just felt compelled to go in. And perhaps you're here because someone invited you to come and see. However you got here this morning, I believe you are here because that is what God wants for you. God wants for you to be here. God wants to be able to speak with you, to get your attention, to help you with the stuff you're dealing with right now. God wants you to know his son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, as friend and brother, someone who walks alongside you along the road of life. John's gospel invites everyone who reads its words or hears what it says to come and see for themselves. We follow Jesus down the road as Andrew and the other disciple did. And we are asked, what are you looking for? Perhaps we stutter in our reply because we don't really know either. The disciples reply, "Where are you staying, Jesus?" How can we spend more time with you? Perhaps that's what they meant. How can we get to know you better? And we, you and me, are invited to come and see, to spend time with Jesus. Come and see what it's like. It's not a hard line approach. It's more of a taste and see that the Lord is good. It's a bit like these posters on the back of buses you sometimes see which say, try praying. These posters are not saying you must pray. They're not saying this is how you pray. They're just saying, try it. Have a go. Can't do any harm. Dip your toe in the water of prayer and see what it's like. The invitation goes out to you today. Come and see. Come and see who Jesus is. How do we do that? How can any of us spend time with a man who lived 2,000 years ago? Well, we believe that Jesus is with us still, that he died and rose again to new life, that he went to heaven to be with God the Father, where he prays for us. We believe that God sent his Holy Spirit to be with us so that we are never alone. We're all invited, old and worn out Christians, new believers, and those who are just wondering. We're all invited to spend time with Jesus, no matter who we are, where we come from, what we have done in our lives. We're all invited to spend time with Jesus, and we do that through prayer, through reading about him in the Bible and hearing about him in church, and through meeting with people who love him and seek to love him more. And when we meet him, we too are sent out to tell others to come and see, as Andrew did with Simon Peter. Come and meet Jesus. And to all who accept the invitation to come and see, as we arrive at the place where Jesus is staying, we find a warm welcome, a place to belong. In Christ Jesus, we find love beyond measure and life everlasting. And to his name be all the praise and the glory forever.